forever.
Ouch. Yeah. Welcome back
for another steaming, piping,
scalding serving of hot goss. This, of course, is our weekly chat show where we talk about events in our life, issues in politics, and take a deep dive into the DMs. So let's get into some hot goss.
Oh, wow. So if you follow us on social media, you may realize...
I do. I'm a follower. I follow you.
I have you shadow blocked.
I don't even know how that...
You may
I just flag your posts regularly.
Yeah, I report you every day.
And I do. Abuse.
You may realize that we are currently in Australia being stunning, comedic, and iconic.
Yeah, comedic icons.
Hashtag so booked, so blessed.
Yeah. But we wanted to make sure that we continue to deliver high quality award winning content to all of those race chasers out there.
Friends of the pod need their dose of pod.
So we have done our due diligence in providing you with an in studio guest of the highest caliber.
I look at you and all I see is due diligence.
The one and only Manila Luzon is sitting here right with us. Hello.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Manila.
Oh, my gosh. I love this gown.
Yeah, it's yellow. It's covered with feathers. Fully Swarovski'd rhinestone E6000.
Okay. Yeah. How is it staying up? Because I don't see any nude illusion panel at all. It's just all corsetry, huh?
It's steel boning. Tractor beams and force fields. Yeah.
I love a force field. Oh, wow.
I've never seen hair that length before. I mean, is that 62 inches?
It's 2 inches.
But the volume on top.
So shake and go.
If you took Manila's hair and put it in a really short cut, it would be the India Farrah Phoenix wig.
It actually is. Yeah.
It is. It's black hair with a blonde spot.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I never realized that. It could have been a three-way.
It could have been. Actually, it almost was.
Can you tell us what that moment was like when one girl walked in with the same? Did you all look at the other girl first and go, oh, mama.
Well, my journey of this experience started much earlier because I was preparing myself to be on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 3.
Yes.
And I was shopping at all of the finest black girl wig stores in Harlem.
Of course.
At the time. And that was one of the, you know, displays, you know.
It was right in the window.
Yeah.
It's because, I mean, before then, it was just like you had black hair and you had brown hair.
Mm-hmm. A blend. Unheard of.
This one was like, it was like 2009, 2010, maybe. I'm not sure. And I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, I should get that wig because it actually looks like my boy hair.
Yeah.
And I decided against it because I was like, no, do I want to spend $23.99 on a wig or should I save that money for something else? So I passed on the wig. But I did wear a black wig with a little blonde topper on top when I walked in the workroom.
Yeah.
And so when India Farrah and Phoenix both walked in with the same wig, My first reaction wasn't like, oh, bitch, they're wearing the same wig. Is, oh, bitch, I almost bought that same wig. And we almost had a Madonna kimono incident on season three if we all walked in with the same hair.
Oh, my God.
Well, we are currently watching you on season three and love what you gave to the show.
Truly.
What prompted you to audition?
Well, I was dating Sahara Davenport at the time, and she was the working drag queen.
Should have made her get that wig, so then you could have shared it.
Well, actually, she actually has that wig. She had that wig. We actually made it for her.
Oh, really?
All it takes is like two tracks and a dream.
It was a little shake and go. We threw in a couple blonde tracks into it. We just weave bond glued it. We didn't even sew it. We didn't.
Ooh, yeah.
Weave bond.
Yeah.
It was whatever was laying around. And yeah, actually, it was actually on her website before season three was, you know, airing. So
pioneer.
Right. So Sahara did it first.
Yeah, truly.
Sahara went on the show. She was the drag queen of the family and she did great. And when she didn't go as far as we thought she was, so I was like, well, it looks like fun. Let me just give it a try.
Yeah.
You know, extend the legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And you continue to do so.
Well, thank you.
So this is the season that keeps bringing us mystery and keeps bringing us question marks. So
many.
What happened?
Raja wins.
Thank you, Perez Hilton. What happened on the break in production? How long was the break? Was it RuPaul's health? Was it because of the fight? Was there a break? Do you remember? Did it even happen?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing ever. We had filmed episode 2, and that's the episode where Shangela and Mimi and first got into a huge fight.
Space it was like age.
Over their escort rates.
Oh over God. Something.
Over sugar daddies. Something.
I was on the losing team. We were in the other room. We were in the gold bar. We heard screaming. We were like, what's going on? Like, they're winning this episode. Like, why why are they getting into a fight? Well, they're making good TV. Then, shortly after, we got called into a room and we were told that we were all being sent home, which was crazy. And
for the first time
in drag race history. So we thought it was our fault because
rules that are in place to protect the fairness of the competition.
Yeah, we thought it was because of our behavior.
Really?
Well, okay. I mean, because, like, you know, the people were acting crazy and getting into, like, physical fights. So yes. We thought, oh, shit. Wow. But it wasn't. And they didn't really tell us what was going on. They just booked our flights and sent us home.
Book them, Dano.
So, and how long were you home?
We were home for a good 2 or 3 weeks, bitch.
Long enough for Mariah to grow a beard.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Long enough for me to, like, take what I wore on the first 2 episodes, put it in a suitcase, bring it home, and then have new clothes made.
That's the strategy.
Now knowing your competition, having so sized smart. Up these bitches, we were able to go back.
Did you have to pack all your shit and bring it home with you?
No. We were able to leave most of our stuff there. I just brought the stuff that I already wore on the show. Yeah. Like, I don't need my entrance look. I don't need my Christmas outfit.
Did Ariel leave any wigs?
Ariel did leave, I think, a black and blonde short shake and go. She said for India Farah.
India Phoenix and you could share it, though.
I only learned what wigs were 4 years ago.
But you don't wear wigs. You've been wearing your own hair. You're a revolutionary.
Yeah, they don't have... where I'm from, they don't have wigs.
Can you
they don't know about wigs.
Can you offer some insight on what it was like to see Mimi Humphurst, Water Buffalo, India Farah?
Water Buffalo.
Tell us first about that lip sync, because it seemed like Mimi was doing the thing where she tried to get in front of the girl and then, like, you know, be the center of attention instead of actually just doing a good job. And that, for me, was problematic. But then India got off the stage, right?
Which, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of... they never told us not to, but we knew not to during our season.
Well, no. They actually used to have a staircase that went down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have it for RuPaul.
I think they eventually... made that a rule not to leave the stage once Carmen Carrera later in the season walked down and then got up on the judges' desk
out with
and
somebody.
Started making out with the judges. Yeah. I think that was when they were like, okay. And I honestly believe it's not because they didn't want you to go off the stage. It's just because there was no camera coverage.
No coverage and no lighting.
So no lighting. Right. So if you jump off the stage into a split, you're just not seen. You just see being jumped off into, like, the oblivion of nothingness.
Right.
Those cameras are locked for the runway presentations. They're not handheld. They're not people roving.
Right.
So
they're
that
not
makes
running
sense.
Around.
Yeah.
So what was that?
What it was like?
How loud were India's screams? Did anyone try to help her? Tranquilizer dart Mimi?
See, the crazy thing about it is that, like, I knew Mimi and first from before, and
I'm so
she used to do that on her show.
Like, she does it at every show.
Yeah,
like
drag show. Thing. She would find some audience member, usually the biggest, burliest guy she could find.
That's funny.
So she picks up a mirror.
or oh India Farah. And she was wearing a lot of drag. It was impressive.
There's a reason we call it India Farahing about when you put on everything. Your top hat, your titty bib, your spider web, jewelry.
The biggest
18
earrings,
ponytails.
Earrings for pasties. I mean, earrings for bracelets. So she, in Mimi's shows, she used to pick up a guy and, like, twirl him around the head. And it's great because you're in a drunk bar. Yeah. And it's like, it's fun to see, like, a drag queen pick up a grown man. But of course, like, in the competition, I mean, you know, like, we're just trying to perform. And when you're preventing someone from lip-syncing their number by lifting them up over your shoulder and spinning them around, I mean, it's kind of unfair.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were like, oh my God, what is she doing? What is she doing? What is she?
And then they slow it down on the show.
Get her off of me!
Monster sound effects.
They added the squealing pig sound. The boars in the wild attacking each other. Yeah, it was like that.
Oh my goodness.
Get her off of me!
Get her off of me!
So, do you...
they're like, another fight? Great. Season 3 was it.
Do you go back and watch it ever, season 3?
I haven't watched it in a long time.
It's been a while, yeah.
It's been a really long time.
I feel
like it's been burned into my memory for the most part, yeah. Because like when it was airing, it was, you know,
life changing.
Yeah, it was like, oh good, like all my hard work that like you finally get to see the product. So like I think, yeah, I watched each episode at least twice that first round, I guess. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the fits and fashions that, like, what are some of the fashions that were your favorite? Whether they're yours or other people's or
RuPaul's or whatever. I think that season 3 was the big controversy in fashion was the boobs for queens, the titty plates. Mm, yeah. It was like a new thing.
Of course.
And it was one of those things that like the judges just didn't grasp or didn't understand. Like, how could a drag queen put on a fake hair, fake lashes and pretend it's hers? But how can she put on these rubber boobs and pretend like she's got actual boobs? Like, that's what socks are for.
That's the lie.
Life's not fair.
So I think there was a lot of pushback, but yeah, there was like a lot of I don't know. I think that I think season 3 was finally when we started getting drag queens who were wearing drag as opposed to whatever the fuck
Rebecca Glasscock.
Rebecca Glasscock $20 dresses.
Right. It was definitely elevated on season 3 for sure.
We had queens that had stacked wigs and knew how to tease a base front.
The final three is a perfect example because each you, Raja, and Alexis are both like heightened drag.
You can also completely. You can all do hair. You can all you're capable in every aspect of drag that there is. All three of you are.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like what drag was at the time. I mean, there wasn't like, you know, drag queen designers who would, you know, you give them $1,000 and they'll make you a fabulous dress. We didn't have $1,000, bitch. We had like $150. That's it.
One of my favorite things about you watching the season was seeing how transparent and like cool that you were. Like every time Shange would have an issue, you'd just be like, listen, it's a competition. And of course I want to beat you and blah, blah, blah. Like you were just so cool and chill and just like a real person, and there wasn't all this like self-awareness and wondering how are they going to take me. You were just like amazing, and I don't know anyone that's ever been like that on the show without any other ulterior motive. Like you were just telling her exactly what you were thinking, and that was revolutionary when you were sitting at this table with her just talking. Like, of course it's competition and all this, and then like offering rhinestones because you thought she needed some rhinestones. You weren't being shady, were you? I thought the hat could have used more rhinestones too.
Yeah, girl, it was. We were all making a TV show, and like, you know, outside of the competition, we were friends before. So it's like, I just don't want my sister to look crazy. There was one episode. It was, I think it was the cake episode when we were supposed to make like haute couture fashions out of, and then Shangela was not wearing lashes, and I was like, girl, why are you not wearing lashes? She's like, well, because runway models don't wear lashes. And I was like, no, we're going to put lashes on you. And she already put her nails on. So, I mean, I did it off camera. So, like, of course, it's not storyline. But, like, you know, I put the lashes on her lashes. And then later I complained, like, oh, Shangela always has help from all the other queens helping her get in drag. In fact, I was actually putting lashes on her face. But
you're a good sister.
Well, yeah, I can't let a girl go walk out there without lashes. That's insane.
Oh my God, I don't have a lower lash on. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Get the glue stacked.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
We are back with our very special in-studio guest, Manila Luzon.
Hey guys, thanks for having me in your luxurious soundproof studio at the top of Capitol Records here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you would think that the wind would create noise, but it's such a soundproof glass box.
Well,
the view is outstanding.
We're sponsored by Exterior Delusions.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the trade out. You have iconic looks, and you often reference Sesame Street. I remember your Drag U promo one year. They made it purple instead of blue in Photoshop. And I was like, that's Cookie Monster's cousin now. It's not blue no more. And then your Big Bird outfit, which we saw in All Starz again. Mm-hmm. Like, you love Sesame Street, huh?
Well, I do like to play up on a little bit of nostalgia with people.
Yeah.
Also, it's just because of my background in design and marketing. I knew that if I came out in a dress with yellow feathers, people were just going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, well, that kind of looks like Big Bird. And they'll try to use that as a negative. So instead, just go full Big Bird, you know?
Those stockings were perfect. Where did you get them?
Oh, those were made by my friend Angel Ayala, who made the dress.
Oh, cool.
In the Bronx. No, the other thing that I was thinking about was, after the fact, I mean, a lot of queens now, when they go on the show, they think like, oh, what's going to happen after? But before, we weren't really thinking about that. And I was thinking like, look, if people associate me with Big Bird, it's fantastic because Big Bird has an entire company who has marketing and plush animals and TV shows. And so then there was a point where anytime there was anything Big Bird, people would just tag me Manila, you know, they'd see Big Bird on TV. Manila. And even to this day, like a pineapple, like people just associate pineapples aren't like a copyrighted anything, but they just start associating anything pineapple with me.
It was all
kind of like a ploy to, you know, have people associate me with certain things that are already out in the world.
You're so fucking smart.
So speaking of after the race, after the race, coming up on After the Race, how did season 3
Race Chaser After Dark
how did it change your life?
Well, I started getting recognized out of drag, which was the, kind of the coolest thing.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, because before RuPaul's Drag Race, people just assumed that when they saw a drag queen, like, they only saw the drag queen. Only other right. drag queens saw us when we took our wigs off backstage.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. no one even knew that what we look like as a boy. Like, if I would go to a club the next day after I was performing in drag, they would be like,
they'd charge you at the door.
Sir, get back in line. Yeah. I'd be like, right. But...
that's me on the poster.
Yeah. So I think that was kind of cool. I used to get recognized a lot in Popeyes in Harlem on 125th Street by the black ladies. Yes.
Word.
Ain't you from the RuPaul?
Yeah. That's what they say. The RuPaul.
The RuPaul.
The TSA ladies. Oh, the RuPaul.
You from the RuPaul.
The RuPaul. Always. That's so great. Raja told us that she and Carmen used to steal full bottles of Absolute from the Interior Illusions lounge and bring them back to the hotel. Were you part of that?
We didn't bring it back to the hotel. No.
You drank
it? So in the Interior Illusions lounge, every episode when we go in there, there'd be a different flavor, like Absolute Citron or Absolute
Acai
or whatever. So they would decorate the rooms with all these bottles of alcohol, but they would only give us one drink. Thanks a lot, Jujubee, season two.
Messy.
Getting blind wasted right. when the sponsors of Absolute were in the building.
I doubt they'll ever have her back on that program.
I doubt it. So we were only allowed one drink. So then we were like, okay, well, you have bottles of fucking vodka sitting right next to us. So what we would do is we would take the bottle and then we would stuff it in the sofa behind the cushions.
So smart.
Because we weren't able to like take it out, because the next thing would be we would go back to the stage and you can't be holding a fucking bottle of vodka.
Right.
Although the first episode
Sharon?
The first episode I did have a giant fur muff, which I could have easily stuck a bottle of vodka.
I remember your highlight in that challenge. I was like, that's what a highlight is. I need to do that. You're the reason I started highlighting.
So shady bitch.
No, that I'm serious. No, I loved it. But I thought it was a winter challenge, so it looked like you got hit with a snowball.
Oh yeah, oh, okay, sure. God. Yeah, I got hit with a snowball.
You looked beautiful.
So you'd hide it in the couch. When would you drink it?
We would the next day. When we would show
getting
up to
mic
set,
for sound, right?
They would put us, our holding area was in the Interior Illusions lounge where we get mic'd. So we would go into the sofa, we'd pull out the thing, and we'd bring it back to the workroom.
Love a crafty queen.
Oh,
now, whose station was the bar at in the workroom?
Raja. I think it was probably Raja's or Carmen. They were the ones that had the sneakiest. They were
Raja
the sneakiest.
Just opened that pink toolbox and it just had like olives and like cocktail onions.
Wedges of lime.
A stirrer and a shaker.
My season the bar was at my station for me and Sharon.
Really?
Oh, y'all used to drink Malibu rum. I heard the stories.
You got to keep your sisters sloshed with you.
Yeah, because one cocktail is not enough to do bullshit except for make you a little tired.
That's not one cocktail's not even enough to take your lipstick off on the glass. Shit, we're drag queens.
We would tell them to like cap off our drinks for continuity purposes.
Could you just
fill this up a little bit, because it's gonna be it's for continuity purposes. You can't just like show us like with drinks going up and down. People will know
just
that it's edited
off. Story.
To jump ahead a little bit, and we haven't talked about this season yet on Race Chaser, but All Stars 1.
All Stars 1. Oh, yeah.
I saw you there. That was so fun.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You came to the Interior Illusions Lounge.
Yeah, so fun. I was a bartender.
Yeah, I said, that was the time where I said I would see you on CSI.
Yeah.
And then
I was on CSI.
You got cast on an episode of CSI.
So cherry lucky. Pick.
No, CSI was named
crossover.
I was named Dahlia, and I was killed while trying to attack a man after drinking a milkshake.
Oh,
you get cast as you get typecast.
Well, it's just because a lot
40
of
words per minute, darling.
A lot of people want to kill her, so it's not a stretch. So,
right. She's been studying for a lifetime. So were you plucked about the teams thing? Was that a total surprise?
It was
what
a
I've
complete
heard.
And total surprise.
You can tell from Latrice's face how much of a surprise.
But you
was.
Made it work to make her red outfit into a Teletubby to match yours. That was like you. I remember finding out that you guys didn't plan that outfit and being like, you guys just had these and it worked. Like, complementary primary colors, like you did it.
Yeah, It was really difficult. I mean, the whole production was kind of like, it just felt like a whole hot mess. It felt like the challenges were the leftovers from the season that they were like, okay, that's a good one. Well, no, it's not. Let's do the other one. Oh, what about that bad idea we had for last season? Why don't we just bring that back? It was interesting. It was difficult to do. I think the teams thing was difficult because I don't think the judges knew how to judge two queens that weren't
right.
Yeah. Like we didn't know. So the first episode we were supposed to coordinate, and you know that's when I did my Teletubby look, and then we dressed up
teleported
trees as Poe. But then the second episode we didn't have to coordinate, mm-hmm. but the judges just didn't get it that we. Mm-hmm. walked down the aisle together right. and didn't look exactly the same
right.
because they've had challenges where you're supposed to, you know,
yeah,
do the makeover challenge, have a resemblance. So obviously, you know, it was really hard to coordinate your stuff. And I feel like it worked against a lot of the queens because, you know, Tammy Brown and Nina Flowers have yeah. very different aesthetics in drag.
Yeah.
So I felt like we didn't quite get...
One uses creams, one uses powders.
Exactly. We didn't quite get the Nina Flowers that we knew and loved because she right. was doing more, you know...
Tammy Brownish,
trying to meet somewhere in the middle. And I feel right. like that worked against both of them, I think.
It's a disservice to the queen's own originality to have to try to match it up to someone else's, I think.
I right. think so, too. And the thing was, is that, like, I'm not against competing in teams, but, like, let us know ahead of time because you don't show up to the Olympics and you're like, oh, I'm doing partners in figure skating, you know, we're doing ice dancing. And you're like, okay, well, you're going to be teamed up with China and go out there and do the routine.
Right.
No, because like yeah. your costumes, you know, could have been coordinated. You could have done some of that. And I feel like that was kind of the part where it kind of like sucked. But they were just looking for excuse to, you know, reason to kick off two girls at a time,
and,
I feel like.
And what I yeah. heard was they only were given money by the network for 6 episodes.
Yeah, they so wanted to cast a yeah. full cast, but, you know,
they logo. Did. And then they told us to not come.
Oh, exactly. That's right. Because yeah. you were supposed to be on that show, too. With us.
So 40 hours before.
Wow. She had the
still
last words.
She's still mad about it, too. She still has hot wood. Bits from All Stars 1 right. set
still
in that closet.
Still sealed in the garment bag,
still
ready to
waiting
go.
To go.
But like,
she's ready.
No one there that I would have wanted for a teammate would have picked me. So I'm glad I wasn't. Well, I dodged a bullet.
That was hard. I mean, all of us were like, I don't want Mimi. I don't want Mimi. I don't want Mimi.
Oh.
I don't want Mimi. But or maybe they were like, I don't want Manila. Please not Manila. She's fucking annoying. Not Manila. Oh God, not Manila.
I don't think anybody thought that.
Did you know that you wanted to? Did you do pick each other on the first?
I picked Latrice first off. She picked someone else. I don't remember who. But luckily, that person that she picked wasn't available. So the next time, I just asked to do Latrice again, and she picked me again because we had worked on an episode of Drag You together, and we were both like, "Oh, so are you gonna? Oh yeah, oh I'm getting myself ready.
Oh,
oh yeah." She's like, "Oh, I'm getting all these things made. I'm getting all this."
Are you bringing a Teletubby look? Me too. Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I was doing the same thing on the Drag You set,
mm-hmm. trying to like find out who your competition was.
Yeah. Well, no, we knew who was going, kind of.
Yeah.
We'll review on this short break.
Well, Willem, mm-hmm. don't give up hope because you never know. It could still happen.
You know what? This is the beginning.
T, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. And of course, we have our very special in-studio guest, Manila Luzon.
Yo, yo, yo.
So, okay. So you've been on Drag Race
18 several
lot.
Many times.
Yeah. So you, Latrice, and Shangela are the only queens to compete on 3 seasons of Drag Race. So what was it like being asked for All Stars 4?
It was completely unexpected.
Really?
Yeah, because I already was on All Stars.
Right.
1. I mean, a lot of people are like, you should be an All-Stars. And I had to keep reminding people, like, I was. I mean, it wasn't the best season, but I still was on there. And so I never really thought of it as, like, an an opportunity that I would get again, because I thought there's so many queens. There's so many amazing queens that they could choose. Why would they go back and, you know, recycle more of the recycled queens?
I'll tell you why. Because you're an amazing queen who provides good TV, amazing content. You quick with the soundbite. You're great. That's why. And it's so smart that they did that, because I loved watching you and Latrice again compete. And yeah, I was heartbroken when your time there was kind of cut short, because like, you were the fucking front runner.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, everybody always says if season 3 had anybody other than Raja, you would have been the winner, and you would have.
Yeah, probably. But the second Raja walked in that door, I was like, oh, fuck, this is going to be harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be honest, like, the fact that they asked me back, I'm just really happy. I think that's really cool. And I was happy to go back on TV, because, bitch, I wasn't doing anything anyway.
How did preparing for All Stars 4 differ than season 1 or All Stars, or season 3 or All Stars 1? Or did you, like, bring tubs this time? How many outfits? What was the packing like?
Oh, God, it was insane. Well, the thing about it is, because it had been, like, almost 5 years since I was on the show, so I had a lot of... I had to show a lot of growth when it came to my aesthetic and drag. And touring and everything, like, you pretty much, like, exhaust all of your outfits and wigs.
Right.
So to come back to Drag Race with things that, even if they were just seen in, like, a few places photo shoot, enough people have seen it, because there's, like, you know, thousands
of internet
likes on your one photo, like, you can't show it, so everything has to be new. Everything had to be and just, I mean, now with, you know, drag stylists and drag hair wig stylists and everything, like, you can't just come with, you know, like, you have to come with, like, pre-styled wigs. You have to come with everything. And then I also knew that the chances of there being challenges where you actually have to make something, they don't do that as much on the All Stars seasons.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So
yeah, because they're smart.
Well, unfortunately for me, I mean, I love cutting up fabric and sewing a dress, because I know that a lot of the queens nowadays don't know how to fucking pick up a fucking glue gun. Yep. I mean, they don't even know how to thread a sewing machine.
Well, I would like to give you a salute. For that look where your armpit was stoned. You wore a blonde updo and you raised your arm and there were Swarovskis in your fucking pit. You look sickening.
Thank you.
And that diamond necklace. Oh, were those conflict diamonds?
Yes, definitely blood diamonds. Many people have to lose their lives for those bejeweled necklaces.
Gotta dig deeper for them.
Yeah, that gown was a gift from Christian Satrusky.
You stay friends with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
He moved from Los Angeles and he moved out to San Francisco, and he used to do drag, and he still does occasionally, but he was cleaning out the closet and he's like, here's this gown. I've worn this gown so much that I can't possibly wear it again. I'm like, give it to me.
Thank you.
It doesn't fit. I'll reinforce the zipper. I don't give a shit. But the bitch had rhinestoned everything. I just had to kind of add some more tools to give it more volume, because it was kind of like in a bag for many years. But that thing is sickening.
Yeah, you look fucking great.
Well, the rhinestones were there because the nude sleeve had a seam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So the rhinestones were there to cover up the seam.
Great
idea.
But
also to, you know, show off that, bitch, my armpits are rhinestoned.
Oh, so
you should see the crotch, bitch. Vajazzled.
I think that's Michael's job.
Whoa.
It's my husband.
So what's going on right now? I heard, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it, but I heard you were going to be on a TV show that my mom watches.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm actually going to be on an episode of General Hospital.
Oh, cool.
My mom was so excited when I told her.
What is that town called where it's set?
Port Charles. Port Charles.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to give anything away, but...
The Cassadines, darling. I think the Cassadines.
It's because... well, because of my Filipino American heritage, I mean, if I was going to be on any soap opera, it would be a soap opera about a hospital, because there are so many Filipino nurses that need to be represented. So I gladly took the role. It was one of those things that I didn't have to audition for.
And offer only.
Love those.
Only.
Love those.
Honestly, like, I give it up for any actor who like shows up in the middle of the day.
CBS Radford.
I have been I've been to an audition and I show up in full drag and there you were, Alaska.
Oh yeah, many times.
I've been to audition and there's Shangela in full drag and I'm like, okay, well,
she reads for everything. She also books everything.
That's why when I auditioned for a pilot like a couple years ago and Shangela showed up, I was like, oh, I fucking just wasted my fucking foundation.
I was walking into a room and saw Bridget of Madison County walking out of a room like all happy, and then she saw me and her face instantly went from like, that was a good read, to crestfallen.
Oh.
And I booked it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, ding. Yeah, I mean, I love acting. It's a lot of fun, but it's the audition process is enough to make me scared to be like, no, I can't deal with any more rejection. It's bad enough I have to read the comments on my on my Instagram.
Sometimes you get the role and you go through your wardrobe fittings and everything, and then they say, oh, you know what, we cut the scenes. That's what happened with Star Is Born. Weren't in Star Is Born for a week after we went through our wardrobe stuff. They cut it off. She was just going to be a waitress, and then they added it back in.
Oh, that's crazy.
Gaga fought for it.
Yeah. I remember like shortly after season three I was cast in NBC's Smash.
Remember that musical
Deborah TV Messing. Show about Broadway? Megan Hilty.
Catherine McPhee.
Deborah Messing. Yeah. Fantastic. We did an entire scene and it was shot in a drag bar. So like I was the drag queen. I had my lines. Bitch, I had my first trailer.
Honey Wagon.
Ooh. Oh, bitch. I felt like the most stunning bitch in the world. I took all the videos on my phone. I had prepared it. I had my press release ready to go. I sit down, I watch the episode, and I knew because it was a full musical number. Like, they ain't cutting this because it had a musical number. There was choreography. There was dancing. Uh-huh. There was lines.
They spent money.
They cut the whole fucking scene, bitch. The whole scene. And I was
Is it on
like,
the deleted DVDs?
I don't think Smash was a smash enough to get, like, a director's cut.
Oh, man.
DVD behind the scenes. Edited takes, but maybe
it has a cult following. I feel like people who were obsessed with that show are crazily obsessed about that show.
But I feel like if there was, someone would have been like, hey, heads up, Manila, I just saw you in the deleted scenes of Smash on NBC.
Sure. Can't believe they cut your drag queen scene. So let me guess, so you're the host at the drag bar, it's probably bingo, and you say something like, hey, you motherfuckers, welcome to the drag club. Hey, you straight character who's the center of this plot, why don't you come on up here?
And then show that's us the what you've got. And then they do a full production. Yeah,
peppered with Hunty and Henny and
This is way before RuPaul's Drag Race had kind of like gotten into the mainstream culture and permeated the vernacular. So it was a little bit not as accurate to what the lines were.
I'll tell you what is permeated, your pads. I'm kidding.
Oh, I can smell them.
We may not have seen you on Smash, but you will be on the upcoming season of Eastsiders. And I know that because we had a lot of scenes together.
Yes, we did. I'm really excited for that.
Multi-episode arc?
Oh, yeah. She's in the full seasons.
I think it was season two or season three. I did a one-off.
At the Eagle.
Yeah, we filmed
no, Fault Line. Yeah.
I was just drag queen at Drag Queen Bingo.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And season four came along and they decided to flesh out my character and like actually give me lines.
It's pretty great. You have this thing where like you pop up and like you volunteer to do something and then everyone's like, oh, let's get her. And then Katya pops up behind you and they're like, who has more followers? And then they get Katya to like officiate this wedding and you're this bridesmaid that's just like, and you didn't have many lines, but your face told everything and the way you just brushed that wig.
Oh, you're going to have to watch it, you guys.
Good in it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Of course, there are no small roles. There are just small actors.
Right.
There's no get small
all
roles.
Of their, who get all of their footage cut out of the episode. But it was a lot of fun to work with you. I mean, I'm really excited to see your character arc.
Honestly, I lost my pinky nail and they were long white nails to go with my wedding gown and I was fucked because we were still in the middle of it. She takes a little piece of paper, folds it, origamis it and glues it on my pinky nail and you can't tell the difference. She is probably the best drag queen to ever have on a set anywhere because she's so good at fucking drag.
Tea. Complete.
Girl, I mean, it's
and total.
It's in HD, so I mean, I guess people are gonna look for it. They're gonna probably notice now that you've mentioned it.
They won't.
We'll put it on the pod on the Instagram.
Her homosexual limp-wristed hands are flailing the whole time, so you won't even notice it.
Yeah.
Just like one nail is wobbling in the wind.
No, we didn't film at a wind farm this year. We filmed at a wind farm for season 3 of Eastsiders, and I was like, oh, sound's having trouble? Who would have thought that wind would have been picked up at a wind farm?
What's a wind farm?
It's where all the windmills are. We filmed right under a windmill in 116 degree heat. And the shoe that's glued to the front of my trash portrait was Raja's shoe that she gave to me that then the glue melted on. Because I was I think Raja went to Adam's house and got all of Adam's hand-me-downs, and then Raya went to Raja's and got all of Raja's hand-me-downs after she needed more room in her closet. Then I was at Raya's and Raya gave me these shoes. It's like drag artifacts.
Yeah.
Truly.
God bless. I mean,
it's always recycled.
So where can we look for you and what's coming up next with you?
By the time this podcast airs...
Next week?
Oh, that's quick. I'm just touring. Touring, lots of touring. Drag Con's coming up, so I'm going to be at Drag Con in New York City.
Yes.
Are you one of the girls that are nice enough to pay?
I will make my own money the old-fashioned way by selling my pussy.
Atta girl. That's drag.
And my t-shirts.
Buy my t-shirt. Hit Manila song.
Buy my t-shirt.
Buy it now.
Buy my t-shirt.
Thank you so much for listening to Hot Goss. And thank you so much to our in-studio guest, Manila Luzon.
Yay.
You can follow Manila at Manila Luzon. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to spell that, do better.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Willem, at The Only Alaska 5000, and at Race Chaser Pod. Mm-hmm. And we will be back next week with more
piping, steaming, scalding, boiling hot goss.
Hot Goss is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Alex Sarchet.
Our theme music is graciously provided by ATF Enterprises, Incorporated Limited. Hot!
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.